Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Israel killed Gazan Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh. Planted an explosive in Haniyeh's room, I understand, while he was in Iran, visiting headquarters for his terrorist operations. Earlier, Israel had taken out Hezbollah's head, Fuad Shukr. What do you think about targeting leaders of these terrorist groups? We need to talk about the problem with name-calling. Did Trump bully Rachel Scott at the notorious National Association of Black Journalists annual convention this past week? Looks like everybody wants to talk about that one. It's been a while since I've offered a vax update. And let's discuss the recent checkmate, CZECH, Czechoslovakia. All right, while we are talking about medical radicalism, Biden's FDA recommended approval of puberty blockers for minors, in spite of known risks. But no worries, they'll put a warning on the label. Now, here are a couple of touch-and-go topics I'll address briefly now and elaborate on them Saturday night during the Brain Massage Live. Starts about 8 p.m. An illegal migrant from Venezuela used her Biden-Harris SNAP EBT, electronic benefit transfer card, issued to her courtesy of the taxpayer, and at the direction of the government to entice and fund the illegal invasion of our border. She used the card, but left her receipt. The teller noticed the receipt and picked it up, looked at it, and noticed the balance on the EBT taxpayer-provided benefit was in excess of $13,000 food stamp benefit, and then over $4,000 in a cash benefit. I'm not sure if that combines together or how that works, but anyway, if we have this sort of money to hire votes for the Democrat Party, maybe it'd be a good idea to divert it to helping our vets or other homeless Americans. What do you think? And while we're talking about the border czar, Harris invasion, take a look at this video. I got it linked here in my notes, showing hundreds of Somali military-aged men lined up at the Pompano Beach, Florida DMV to get a driver's license, where that's all you need to vote. Hey, DeSantis, I hope you're paying attention to that. Someone visited an apartment complex in Georgia that is used to provide shelter for illegals. It was discovered that 14% of the residents there were willing to admit they were registered to vote, so long as their face was not exposed on the camera. And this from Mornings with Maria Bartiromo. A guest on her show tells us there's a memo from Susan Rice that says we've got to figure out how we're going to meet the challenge of teaching these illegal immigrants to vote. Now, we don't know whether they will make them citizens first or not, but Susan Rice is heading up the operation of tasking our federal agencies to actually get votes from illegal immigrants. Now check this out. Mornings with Maria Bartiromo. You can use the link I have in my notes. I think I showed you the cell phone data that Heritage Foundation came up with that suggests a connection between the Trump shooter and the FBI. Check it out here. You know how they can track phones. They found 9 phones associated with Crook's address. And one of them shows activity at the Crook's residence, followed by activity at a coffee shop or something like that that's in an area where the FBI does their business. That's just kind of interesting. Doesn't prove, it's just something you should look into. I think I showed you all of that in a Brain Massage Live a little bit ago, but there's more to bring to your attention concerning that. Alex tells us the Secret Service head was caught ordering Butler, Pennsylvania to stand down. Yeah, you have to endure some commercials, and you might find the products, however, they're helpful. But be patient. The news is worth waiting for. And here's the link you can use to hear and view Alex Jones' statement on this. But here it is in summary. Each time a president was assassinated in the past, it is demonstrable that there was a Secret Service stand down. Now, what that means is, For example, the president's protection detail was dangerously cut back or in some other way compromised. Ronald Rowe, the guy most likely responsible for signing off on the security arrangements made for July 13, he claims he doesn't know who cut down the staff. Oh, really? Now we know the shooter was on the roof for, I've heard, from 10 to 20 minutes. And really, he is in plain sight. One video from a camera that took a shot from across the stage at the location at that rooftop, it shows this guy walking around up there. So really, do you really believe that no one communicated with the Secret Service? And okay, if that's true, what? Not only did we have a clear line of sight vantage point left unprotected, they gave up on the idea of these guys in the room looking through the window were protecting it, because then the question comes up, why didn't they protect it? Yeah, so they've kind of, you notice how this develops? So anyway, not only did they leave a clear line of sight vantage point unprotected, they didn't even ensure they had communication channels open between Butler Police and the Secret Service. And beyond that, there were embedded agents on each side, that is, police embedded on the federal Secret Service side and Secret Service agents embedded with the Butler Police. What? And nobody thought to get Trump off that stage? I mean, no one thought to put a guard there at the booth where President Lincoln was sitting? Really? In that political environment? And in this one? Friend, no one does a better job of encouraging and fostering conspiracy theories than our government. Remember JFK? And how effectively did all the scattering conspiracy theories serve to create a smokescreen behind which they hid the CIA conspiracy to kill JFK for over 70 years? Friend, we've got to wise up. Farmers are under attack in Idaho. And I'll go into this Saturday night, but don't make the mistake of thinking that it won't come here. In fact, it's already happening here. Over 500,000 acres of farmland are at risk right now. Hey, Bonnie Pack, you need to get ahead of this. I'll address the touch-and-go topic Saturday night, 8 p.m. I'm on Rumble, X, LinkedIn, Facebook, and some others, and soon we'll expand to Spotify. But, friend, right now, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, my friends, Israel killed Gazan Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh. I guess how you pronounce it, H-A-N-I-Y-E-H. I understand someone planted an explosive in this terrorist leader's room while he was visiting terrorist headquarters there in Iran. Plotting their next evil deed, earlier Israel took off the head of the Hezbollah snake, Fuad Shukr. What do you think about targeting leaders of these terrorist groups? Well, friend, I ask you, why kill the people oppressed by these rulers into their service? Why kill the dupes? Why kill the foot soldiers and deprive their mothers of their sons and their wives of their husbands and their children of their fathers? I liked the Reagan approach better with Gaddafi. Remember that one? Gaddafi was making some noises and about threatening Reagan. And so Reagan just sent a team in there to drop a bomb on his house. Well, that got Mr. Gaddafi's attention, let me tell you. And we heard no more from him. He got real small and real quiet for a long time. Trump took out Soleimani. Same result. Obama took out that CIA asset named Osama. And very reluctantly, by the way, and well, more on that another time, let me know what you think about this. The problem with name-calling. Well, friend, the problem with name-calling is that, well, there is really no other way to call anyone except by their name. Har har. And of course, that's not what we mean, but it does answer an important question about what it means to call people by names. Senator John Kennedy was chastised by Fox Business News correspondent or anchor Neil Cavuto for calling Kamala a ding-dong, among other things. Anyway, why is it that only the right are called down on name-calling? I don't know. Maybe it's the sort of internal discipline thing we find in almost every organization, like a church. It takes different forms or shapes depending on the group's objectives and values, But it always ultimately comes down to the same thing, protecting the group's integrity. In the case of the church, protecting the name of Christ, for whom it is commanded all who name that name must depart from iniquity. So anyway, it is certainly possible that Cavuto has Kennedy's best interests at heart when he says, effectively, he does not see how name-calling Kamala, a ding-dong, advances the agenda of the good senator from Louisiana, John Kennedy. He clearly did not approve of calling Kamala a ding-dong. Now, Kennedy used the expression in its more modern colloquial sense. That would be describing someone who is addle-brained, as it were, lacking common sense and unable to think clearly, not so bright. The expression technically describes the noise of a doorbell or church bell, you know, ding followed by dong. Ironically and informally, in the UK, the expression is used to describe a noisy argument or a fight. For example, they had a real ding-dong in the middle of the restaurant. So we might describe the terse exchange between Kennedy and Cavuto as a real ding-dong. In America, ding-dong is slang for one that is stupid or foolish, and it's used to identify the distinguishing male part is, well, vulgar. The source I found for this use is questionable in terms of whether it was prepared by a person whose language is English first, or someone who's still working on that skill. I'm just saying, because I got it footnoted here, and you might notice that. We all know what it means by the context in which it's used. Clearly, Kennedy intended to dismiss Kamala as a ding-dong, a dingleberry, a dinghead, ding-a-ling, dipstick, or a dingbat, or perhaps all of the above. It's an efficient way to make the point, and it's somewhat adorkable. There's a neat new word for you, a person that might be regarded as socially awkward, perhaps not fashionable, but in a way or in a manner that makes them adorable, charming. And that describes Kennedy to a T. He is adorkable. And Kamala is not. I'm just saying what everybody else says, especially her staff, people who work for her. No matter how much lipstick you smear on a pig, friend, Kamala is unlikable. Nevertheless, we really do need to present the evidence and let the people describe it. Let me explain something to you here. It's interesting, though, that the left are the ones who started this whole bit, you know, of name-calling. You can remember back in Reagan's day, they said he wanted to feed grandma dog food. That's name-calling if I have ever found an example of it. And you notice how they're so free to call us Nazis. You could call someone a Nazi and that's not name-calling? You say, but hey, brain masseur, I've heard you call Kamala a Nazi, and Biden, and Obama, and Pelosi, and the rest of them. So isn't that name-calling? Well, actually, no. So when is it name-calling, and when is it, you know, just used as a manner of description? Appropriately. When the progressives call you or me a Nazi, all you have to do is ask them, hey, what exactly did I do that justifies calling me a Nazi? Now, if they come off with something like book burning, well, you could have lots of fun with that. Who are the censors today? Who are the ones trying to censor us in free speech? So they probably won't come up with that one. But the fact that Nazis burned books, by the way, is not what made them Nazis. I mean, I can find an example of book burning in the Bible way back when the Christians got convicted and of their own accord gathered their witchcraft books and magic books and so on and brought them out to a bonfire and used them for fuel for the fire. But that wasn't mandated by the government or by the church, by the way. A Nazi weaponizes the government against anyone that disagrees with the agenda of the present rulers of that government. A Nazi uses private business as an extension of the government's politics into the population, where otherwise they either wouldn't have the reach or would not be able to do it legally. Those are the two primary features of Nazism. And that's what Democrats do. So when a term is used to describe someone's behavior or the character that's revealed in that behavior, well, that's not name calling. That's description. You see, in that case, you're not creating an impression about someone that they haven't already established for themselves by their actions or by their statements. You're simply honestly labeling what everyone else can see. Name calling, as we understand it, and the way Democrats use it, is an effort to attach labels to someone that are not descriptive of their character or beliefs. You know, like racist, white supremacist. These words are used in that way all the time. They're constantly calling us names, but they're doing the thing we would define as name calling. We're not. We're just doing truth in advertising. We're just putting the label on it that they've earned. Anyway, to avoid the long and actually distracting work of sorting all of this out, just put Harris and her record in front of the people. And everyone with sense will think the names in their own mind, ding dong, ding bat, and even dangerous, without any help from us. Now, there is an exception. When the entire media complex, the propaganda machine for the progressive left, calls Kamala the border czar, and they did, with ne'er an objection. Remember last week's show, by the way. And suddenly, they want to bury that name because it attaches her to the Biden-Harris border failure debacle. Remember, when you say failure, by the way, as an aside, you need to qualify that. Their border policy has certainly failed America and American interests and every true American. But, and remember this, because it'll help you understand a lot of what goes on. The reason no one is held to account for these obvious failures, these failed policies and so on, is because, in fact, they didn't fail. Obama, Biden, Harris, throw in Hillary, Schumer, the rest of them, they've all done their job to the absolute satisfaction of their masters. And the people under them who carry out their instructions are actually doing their job. I mean, as it's defined by their leaders or their employer, because they're not employed by the people. They're employed by special money groups and so on, special interests and stuff like this. They're not really employed by the people. I mean, listen, they're doing the best job George Soros could expect. Okay? No one will be fired because why would you fire someone who's doing their job? They did what they were hired to do. And that's important to understand. Cheadle played along like a good soldier, took one for the team, and besides that, she bungled her job at that first hearing. She did not handle it well. Now, Ronnie Rowe, on the other hand, he is about as smooth as Ray is in slithering around the questions with non-answers. The irony here is that Cheadle was actually more honest than Rowe or Ray. You don't fire someone for doing their job well. That would make it hard to recruit. You scapegoat anyone whose performance is below their expectations, that threatens to expose the masters or to embarrass them or to set their agenda back. Okay, my friends, that's all we can do for the first segment. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Folks, I've gone a bit long in this segment. We're going to skip the break and just roll right along.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your
mind. Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I went long in the first segment. I'll have to kind of hurry through this. Probably won't get it all done today, but we'll look at it again Saturday night at 8 p.m. on Brain Massage Live. Melania has some very good instincts, I think, and like a mother hen, she wants to protect people from the abuse of bullying, as she says she's experienced bullying in her lifetime. By the way, I'm all for that. However, values shaped by sympathy alone are often distorted and end up doing more harm than good. I received an X-file ostensibly from Melania, appealing for all Americans to embrace her sympathy for log cabin Republicans, and that's the queer section of the Republican Big Tent Party. Now, I listened to her spiel carefully, and you know what? I truly believe she is sincere. She believes they've been bullied and are bullied and rejected by the normals unfairly. Perhaps I should call them the naturals, because the Bible says that the behavior is unnatural. It is instinctual in nature to reject what is an aberration. Becky lately put up a fish tank, placed in it three little catfish. Among the three catfish, one of them is defective. It has only one eye. The other two are normal. Now, they don't bully this little one-eyed catfish, but they do tend, it seems, that they tend to isolate it or leave it alone. Now, I think the reason for the isolation might have more to do with the fact that that particular little catfish has a blind side than it has to do with anything else. However, among us people, or not catfish, you know, among us people, when this sort of thing develops or happens, it's usually more about the blindness in the group than it is in the individual. I'm just saying. However, we are not talking about physical anomaly in the case of homosexuality. We're talking about a spiritual perversity. And while I certainly do not encourage bullying anyone, ever, the people's right of free association is valid. You shouldn't be forced to accompany or accept sex traffickers of minors or drug pushers of fentanyl or heroin, right? These things are abhorrent. Well, to God, this behavior is an abomination. Now, let me go on record saying what I have said for many, many years. Bullying anyone is uncalled for, ever. I don't like watching a man pretend to be a woman and under cover of that delusion generated by the effeminization of our culture to go into a boxing ring and beat up a woman. It makes me literally sick to my stomach. I resent liberals weaponizing the government to bully us into accepting unnatural homosexual behavior or queer lifestyle or attacking our president or anyone else because they disagree with their beliefs. I resent liberals weaponizing the government to bully us into accepting unnatural homosexual behavior or the queer lifestyle. I resent teachers in our public schools bullying Christian kids and intimidating them by mocking their faith in public in front of the other kids. You know, bullies who get in your face and scream racist, bigot, while they're being racist and bigoted in the accusation. And I'm tired of being accused of name-calling when I identify people with the names they use for themselves. Or when I identify really bad behavior and label it with a label fitting that behavior. You know, like calling the Antifa marauders, thugs and thieves, who burned private and public property, who committed acts of wanton murder and violence, with impunity, by the way, at the applause of and tacit approval of hypocrites like Kamala and Biden and the rest of them, who bloviate about the dangerous J6ers, who had walked into the people's house waved in by Capitol Police. Now, wait, whoa, slow down. If these liars and hypocrites, and that's what they are, want to differentiate between the J6ers who actually committed acts of vandalism and then the little old ladies who simply went into the building to pray for our nation, well, then we can begin having a conversation. Until then, I simply do not trust these people who call me names without pointing to what I did to deserve the name and who accuse me of calling them names when all I'm doing is pointing out exactly what makes them a hypocrite, a whitewashed grave full of dead men's bones, approving and covering for liars, thieves, and murderers. And I'm opposed to bullying homosexuals too. And while I am against bullying homosexuals, I am also against anyone trying to sexualize minors, homosexual or not. I am against anyone denying to any human being their fundamental and natural rights, whoever they are. I do not believe anyone has a right to decide their own gender. That's decided by nature and nature's God. Nor does somebody have a right to decide their own race. Yeah, it doesn't work that way, Kamala. No one has the right to redefine marriage. God defined it as one man with one woman. If some man wants to live with a man as if he is his wife, well, that's wrong. It's sinful. It's sinful. And I think they should be rebuked and that that behavior ought not to be accepted or condoned or encouraged at large. I also think it's wrong to promote pedophilia, bestiality, and adultery, by the way. Any sexual promiscuity. It's dangerous and unhealthy physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It's damaging to the family and to society. I think these things are sin, and they should receive the reproof of the Holy Ghost through the rebuke of the church. But with the exception of pedophilia and bestiality, I don't think we should pick up stones and kill these people. But Melania, in my opinion, does not understand what she's doing. I hope I don't sound arrogant there. Maybe she does. I've never talked to her about it. But I think she's doing when she encourages this behavior and lifestyle. By all means, call out bullying behavior. I'm with you. But by no means condone or encourage a lifestyle that is clearly and that it's on record as being deadly. I mean, it shortens the active homosexual's lifespan by half. If she thinks it's a born that way thing, you know what? She's just woefully misinformed. If she thinks it's okay, she doesn't understand that lifestyle and how unhealthy it is. It's not okay. If she's attempting to make it okay to be gay, her opinion is not informed by the Bible, clearly, because the Bible says clearly that it's wrong. So what informs it? That is her opinion in this matter. Misguided sympathies. I need to move toward a conclusion here. Look. Ultimately, I'm telling you, we are finally going to have to form a kind of, I don't know, Christian coalition for just governance or something like that. What did Alexander call that group that he wanted to start? Actually got it started. He called it the Christian Constitution Society, I think. Christian Constitutional Society, something like that, where they were recruiting godly Christians to enter into political leadership. We need to do that. The tensions that are building within the Republican Party and really in our whole nation. It's a phenomenon that's occurred in a cycle several times in history. The truth just simply continues to get increasingly more clear to the people. It becomes more firm as it becomes more clear. The fact is, the lie always progresses toward greater and greater weakness and finally collapses over time. Many Christians were confused by the argument of choice and identifying the baby as a fetus. And yet over time, truth just keeps on marching on, shining its light, and the lies begin to lose their hold on the minds of free people who are free to have access to the truth and who are free to discuss it with one another and have freedom of conscience to believe what they choose to believe. It sometimes takes time for truth to catch up with the lie, but truth is marching on, and it never lets up. It continues until finally truth prevails, and it always does. It seems all of a sudden, when it does finally blossom in the minds of and hearts of enough people to get you a feeling of a sudden shift, but actually it's something that's built up over time. It seems sudden, but it's a product of sometimes years and decades of word of mouth, one-on-one, heart waking up another heart, and so on. Like the truth that the divine right of kings was bogus nonsense. Took a while, but the truth of the people's right of consent finally prevailed. Freedom of the soul, liberty of conscience, these ideas. It took a while before those truths finally conquered the lies that kept men slaves. Abortion will lose because abortion is a lie. Homosexual marriage will lose because it's a lie. Life begins at conception. The flash of light that signals the beginning of life cannot be called anything else than the beginning of human life. And as God communicated his likeness at creation, when man became a living soul, his likeness and the rights attached to it are present at the moment life begins, and it begins at conception. To mark it as beginning any time after conception is a fool's errand. For if there was no life before, then there wouldn't be any development to the stage where you're willing to call it human life. And what life was it before it became known or accepted by you as human life? It couldn't be anything else except human life. Look, God defines gender. It's determined by nature and nature's God. It's one of those things you get from your creator, like your inalienable rights. It also is inalienable. No matter what you do to your body with hormones or surgery, you are XX or XY, period. Ask Carnini, who had to face a biological male pretending to be a woman so he could get into the ring and beat her up. Now, I've got to go. Hang on till Saturday night when we'll get together for the Brain Massage Live. I've lit the lamps of the Church Belfry Arch. You let me know that you see that they are on by giving me a call. Call 805-314-2114. You can say lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. Or email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact us button and send me an email. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. I'll be in my pulpit this Sunday, and I sure hope to meet you there.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.